Just before that, I think you spoke on what kills your faith. So hopefully this morning I'm going to touch on what makes your faith. and that is God's heart, that we move forward and that we grow. So if I couldn't decide on a topic, on a title, so I've got two. You can choose wherever you are. Let's go to the other side or whatever rocks your boat. My oldest is entering that phase of they have these little slogans for a week or a month or however long, but they've got these little, you know, cool bra, and then, you know, have you ever heard this song that I discovered, Echo van Kaas Bra? It is not the typical Afrikaans corner, although many people think, but it is the most simple song with a beat that, but my boys love it. And I just have to play Echo van Kaas Bra. But they have these little things, and then at some stage it's whatever rocks your boat or whatever blows your hair back. This morning I want to touch on a moment with Jesus where the boat got rocked, but he called his disciples to go to the other side. And that is often what happens with us, is that in our growth, and as God wants us to grow and he's committed to us growing in him, he calls us to the other side. I want you to remember it's the God of hope. That is one of the words this morning, that God is the God of hope. His name is the God of hope. It says about Abraham, who for so many years didn't see the promise be fulfilled. It said, against hope, he hoped. I don't exactly know how that works, but even in the place of hopelessness, he hoped. I think I got a glimpse of that over my time off, that at some stage I'm gripped by hope, and I'll maybe touch on being a prisoner of hope later on. But I decided to read through Mark, you know, just to fall in love with Jesus. I love Mark, the gospel of Mark, because it's all action, you know. The words immediately, suddenly, that's the kind of writer that he is. He doesn't go, you know, all express, you know, he's expressive in the sense of the impact words. And you see the demons flee just in the first chapter already, and it's healings and it's miracles, and then he walks on water, and then he does, and it all immediately, suddenly. And so I like that kind of movies. I like that kind of, you know, things must be happening. But how many of you know it takes a very long time for suddenly to happen? it's like night. It's pitch black, dark, and then you must excuse me. I was Afrikaans all holiday, and now I've got to speak English again. So here and there, I might struggle a bit. But so it's dark all night, and then suddenly there's dawn and the sun rises. She's pregnant for a whole 9 months. And and then suddenly the baby is there. And oftentimes our suddenlies and our immediatelies happen after a long period. And there are some of you trusting God for suddenlies, immediatelies. And I want to tell you, the God of hope is with you in it. So we're going to look at Mark 6, if you want to turn there. But I want to give you context. The context is Jesus just fed 5,000, the Bible says 5,000 men. Now, if you know men, where there's men, there will be ladies. So let's try and be conservative. Let's say half of them had women or had wives. Sounds a bit bad, you had wives. So 2,500 extra, that's 7,500. And when there are husbands and wives, there are usually children. And back in those days, there were more children and less children. And so let's just estimate, we take a conservative, about 10,000, 12,000, 15,000 even, people got fed with a lunchbox. Incredible. Jesus did this amazing miracle, and it says that at the end, they had to pick up 12 baskets filled with all the leftovers. And it speaks of God's extravagance, God's lavishness. He doesn't just come, he's not wasteful, but he wants to be extravagant. He wants to give more than enough. And so, I mean, if you had that experience. I had one kind of similar, almost like that. We were in Lesotho. We were in high school. We organized an outreach to Lesotho. And we got there, and whenever you in quite an African context, the people just follow you wherever you go. And so we decided we want to go up the hill, up kind of a mountain. It's beautiful in Lesotho. And as we walk, people start joining. People start joining. And we're a bunch of matrics, standard nines, what's that, grade 11s. And we're on top of this kind of mountain, and we are hungry and thirsty. And we brought with us watermelon. But it was one watermelon. And you just see, 100 plus people, they're gathering there and wanting to hear. And we said, okay, well, let's start. And I don't know how it happened. We didn't see something, but everyone had watermelon. It was incredible for me. First time I saw somebody get healed from deafness and things like that. It was, you are on a high. You are growing in Jesus. There's one way to grow in faith. It's to have good things happen to you. God, a miracle? Yeah, of course. But I want to tell you that for Jesus, miracles, non-miracles, for Him it's natural. For us it's supernatural. But for Him it's natural. And He's, the biggest miracle is what we just sang now, is as Jesus is formed in you and me. That you and I become like Him, not just in our creational aspect, but in spirit, in our emotions, in the way we deal with people, that we are like Him, spirit, soul, and body. And that is a hope we have. We are becoming like Him. And as you have given yourself to that, Jesus is so committed to make you like Him. More committed than you are. More committed than the elders are. More committed. He was sent into the world because He loved us. Sent into the seemingly hopeless situation to the world. Jesus comes in and He comes in like that shoot of life that Debbie was speaking. Into this dead bark. Into this stump that has no life. There's no God life. It's just religion. And it's just anarchy. And it's just immorality. And it's everything bad. And then Jesus comes and He's born into so simple, so suddenly you hear the cry of a baby. And He emerges and He comes. And He starts a whole new revolution, the kingdom of God. Oh, man, that's the gospel. And He wants to do that in history, and He came to do that in your and my life. Maybe you're sitting here, it's not happened to you yet. It could happen this morning. And so they're on a high. 5,000 men got fed. I don't know if they had seconds or what, but just imagine 12 disciples. You have all the different personalities there. I don't know if Peter was saying, "Wah-ha!" and he was jumping, doing this. And John was kind of like just, "Oh, I love Jesus so much." And Thomas was counting and saying, "Guys, do you really think it was 5,000 men? I'm not quite sure." And you have all of them there. And we get to Mark 6, verse 45. Immediately He, and that's Jesus, made His disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side. Can you please say the other side? The other side. That's where He wants us to go. It says to Bethsaida, while He dismissed the crowd. Talk about a bouncer. Jesus is quite able to direct 5,000 men. He dismissed them. And after He had taken leave of them, He went up on the mountain to pray. When evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and He was alone on the land. And He saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, He came to them, walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw Him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out. For they all saw Him and were terrified. But immediately, and you have Mark again, immediately, He spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And He got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. What a moment here. It's just from miracle to miracle, and it seems like the disciples are still a bit doff. They're still not understanding some things. And, you know, just starting to raise children, I've realized I would do miraculous things to my children according to me, or great blessings, and it seems like they are slow of learning, slow of understanding. Still, I need to make you get into the car. Still, I need to make you eat your food. I need to make you... And that's the life of disciples. It's not an excuse that we don't learn, but what I see is oftentimes, even though God has great things, we can miss it. Now, you can't see that well, but that is a trailer, and there where there should be a wheel, it's off. It fused kind of, and it broke off completely. That's our car with the trailer kind of with one wheel. And that is a little heap of stones. It's a little altar. So, 17th of May, we start a sabbatical. I had dreams and visions of tranquility, peace. It was beautiful. I had expectations. And my car gave problems. Now, those of you who've been with us for a while, you know my car is a grace grower in my life. So my car gave problems. We fix it. Then we get news. Ina's father had a heart attack. He had to get a stent. So he gets a stent. But over that weekend, the guys see there's more problems. So he gets a triple bypass. And then his heart rhythm is not right, and so they need to stop the heart, shock the heart, so that the rhythm gets right. And they had to do that twice, and it was not. So I'm shortening a bunch of quite traumatic experiences that I thought I was resting, and yeah, now, and my son is writing exam. Ina is actually the one helping them with all the exams, but she's at a dad's place because the whole family is dealing with this trauma in a different ways, and she seems to be the one that can actually help there. So it's chaos. My mother-in-law comes and kind of stays over by our place because it's closer to the hospital. And so the evening, Ina kind of, she took her mom out to the car and came back, and she parks just off center with our driveway. If you've been, we've got a double garage, and so two cars need to go in, but she parks just off center, outside the... And it's quite a biggish SUV, just off center. The morning I need to go quickly out, and I take that car, and I want to just reverse straight out, because that's how we usually do it. I look on this side, as I look at my rearview mirror, and I walk, I see this fender pop off my mother-in-law, and I reverse back into my mother-in-law's. What's worse? The damage, or that it's my mother-in-law's car. I don't know. And I'm like, ugh, you know, and there's another bunch. So now, and then it's, so finally her father is fairly settled. But you must understand, from the beginning of the year, I had a twitching eye. And many of you know you get a twitching eye because you're quite stressed. And you need to get less stressed. And my eye is twitching more, and I'm scared to look at ladies because it looks like I'm winking at them. But it's, and so I am stressing, and I'm like, come on, we need to get on holiday. And I'm getting more anxious because we're on sabbatical. I need to rest because Kim said when Ron comes back, he's full of vision, and he's going to be the, and I'm like, I'm not resting. And so this thing is building up. And so finally, her dad's been released from hospital. We're all going like this, and we're going to go on holiday. It's the boys' holiday time. So I want to get the car fixed so that we can drive. We had an opportunity to go to Malchus, which is a beautiful place just outside of Swellendam. So we go. Finally, we get the car because the guys took too long with the car. And I'm, the morning, I'm packed. The trailer's packed, everything. I just need to go fetch the car. I get the car, come back home. I make the children get in the car because we already, just like Jesus, made them get in the boat. And I start the car. I'm like, Lord. So I said, I can't deal. Quickly jump start the car. We'll sort it out in Worcester. Her parents live in Worcester. So I get to Worcester. We quickly go in and see what's wrong with this battery. And the guy says, no, there's nothing wrong with the battery. It's fine. I'm like, okay, I don't know. Let's just trust. We drive to Malchus. So Ina said, I said, Ina, you know the way to Malchus? Yes, I know. I've been there lots of times. I know exactly. So we start driving. As we drive out of Worcester, I hear like squeak, squeak, squeak. Like, what's that sound? Probably some dust on the trailer. What do? We put the music louder. We're going to get to the place. And I am so frustrated because it's already 3 o'clock in the afternoon and we should have been there already, so we're going. Now, 3 o'clock, it's after middag slapy. The boys should have slept while we're driving, but now they've finished sleeping. I want food. I want this. He's doing that. No, I'm kidding. And my eyes are... I am so frustrated. There is no heaven at hand in my heart. Yes, I wish it would have... So we drive, we're getting to Swellendam. You know where we... Yes, I know. And so we just drive out and we get to the... There's like a BP garage kind of on your way to Stilbaai. And I said, let's just quickly look. And I see there are 2 ways to Malchus. We are on the wrong way. I want this. I want. And it's just too much. Later on, tears are just flowing. I'm holding my knuckles.
We're going to get there.
I know I might kill one of my children now. And Ina's trying and she's feeding them chocolate and stuff. And I know it's not right, but it's all we have. And they're getting more. So finally I say, no, let's turn around. We go the right way. And we get, and it's like quite a long drive on gravel road. And so it's about 30, 40 Ks, and it's getting twilight. We need to get there. And so you go past like what's that place? But a little Staliki type of trading post. And then it's short. I mean, I see on the maps, it's just about 2 Ks or so. I just take the wrong turn off. Because by now, everything is zooming. I'm telling you, are we so stupid that we can't read a map? Are we still, and everything, it's just building up. And so we just take this wrong turn off. We're down the road, and I say, no, this is not it. And we turn around, and I drive. And I look in my rear view, ka-donk, ka-donk, ka-donk. We stop. That's the picture. I'm like, I'm crying. So, okay, we need to get to the place. So we unpack the stuff. I get the jack. Nice underneath all the stuff there in the boot. So I get the jack because I don't want the axle to get damaged because I know if the axle damages, then it's bigger troubles. So, but I mean, I can't even put the wheel back on. It fused. The bearings fused. It broke off. So now I try and get this jack going. And this... I don't know, some of you might have a jack like that, but it's a normal jack, and then it's got this connection little red thing that you need to unscrew the little screw, and then you pop it in, and then you screw it tight. But I don't have a screwdriver with me right now. And so I said, let's just put it slightly, and then I start turning. I see this thing is stripping a little bit, and it's not a good quality. It's starting to twist. My middle boy is going, Jesus, help us. I've got very godly children. Jesus, help us. There is no one there. It's in the week. There's no one there. The trading post is closed. Jesus, help us. Jesus, help us. I'm like, I want to get this thing. And at the pinnacle of as Jesus is not helping us yet, and I'm turning this thing, this jack flicks off. It strips and it knocks me right here on my lip. I lost it. I just... I'm screaming. Ina goes, come boys, let's go to that tree down there. Jesus, help us. Dad is flipping. He is... I can't... It was... And then I flip. I broke down and I just cry there. Can my life get worse? The flippin' jack. yes, now I'm trying. What am I going to do? And at that point, and deep, some time ago, a number of years ago, I made up in my heart, irrespective of what happens to me, God is good and God is right. Always good, always right. I remember walking there and I say, God, you're good, you're always right. I don't know how I'm going to get this trailer. And I'm thinking, this is outside. How am I going to get? Thinking, okay, who's got big trailers? I know maybe Derek has a big trailer, but it's so far. I'm like, so now we need to get to still to the house. Okay, come, let's look at that map. It's flat. I can't look at the map. Okay. Ina's got one little stripe, so she phones. Listen, where's that house? Now just look for the river. I can't see a river. It's dark. The moon has not come up yet. I don't know where the freaking river is. There's no momentum in my life. So now finally I say, okay, this looks like it could be the river. It took us about an hour to just drive 2 kilometers and finally get the place. So I dropped the kids. My oldest boy came with me, and we unloaded that thing and said, tomorrow I'll find. But by then, I broke. I'm like a little, I don't know, a ram that got sheared. I just walk. And my little eye is still twitching. I was broken. I'm laughing now, but I cried. Mama, my son goes, Mom, why is Jesus not helping us? He's not like a genie. Oh, is he slower? Out of the mouths of babes. No, Jesus is teaching me something. And so the next morning, it took a whole day to sort it, and God was beautiful. And just there was a guy in the Swellendam congregation. He was on leave. He was a mechanic, and he could come and help me. And just the Lord helped me. And what I realized is I just drive that gravel road. Is that gravel road is quite a good one, so you could ride 80 kilometers an hour. If that trailer broke on that gravel road, I don't know if I would have stood here today. In that seeming storm, in that frustration, God, I think, saved me. If not my life and our lives, big, more trouble. I like to say the man that came to help me, his surname is Haasbroek. I like to say, and Haasbroek is a rabbit, rabbit pants. But God pulled the rabbit out of the hat for me at that moment. And so we could rest there. But I realized that after that, I went to that specific spot, and I didn't get so many rocks. But we drove past that spot a number of times in that week, and I put an altar sign. This is where my wheels came off. And this is where God saved me. The moment where you think your wheels are coming off, where you think everything is, He saves you. And I could point to my boys and say, remember that you see Jesus helped us. He sent it one and he was on leave and all of and everything. And I could tell them the story of God that seemingly did not help me immediately. But he was working in me and in us. Go to the other side. God is so committed to his purpose of making you like Jesus. Making you. And he will use a miracle of feeding 5,000. And he will use a storm. Where you feel alone, helpless, in the dark. At the end, he will use a trailer, a car, a child, a jack. To make you like Jesus. The other side is the next step in becoming like Jesus. For some of you, the next step in your growth is forgiving someone and not just receiving God's forgiveness for yourself. It's helping someone with aspects in Christianity, serving in an area in the church, or maybe someone specific in your neighborhood or community. It's having a baby. Maybe getting married first, the other side, having a baby, having children, teenagers, that's another galaxy. It's not just the other side. Another function or position that God has in your job or so. God has seasons and moments, responsibilities, or people in your life to grow you and to grow you up, to help us get on the other side. What I want you to see there is He made them get into the boat. When you give your life to Jesus, it means that He can make you do things, if you like it or not. Because when we give our lives to Jesus, we are giving it away. We are saying, and we are actually coming to a realization that I am not my own. I've not been made for myself. I've been made by God for God. And I am His and His alone. He can do with me what He wants. Great miracles, handing out baskets or seating people, sending out the sun, or going into storms. It makes you get in the boat. The interesting thing is, it says Jesus was alone on the mountain. Jesus went to pray. The guys are rowing. And I do want to say, just on the sideline, for some of you experiencing loneliness, being alone with God is needed. Alone with God will deal with this experience of loneliness. And Jesus reveals something of just oftentimes being alone with God. We continue, and it says, and He saw they were making headway painfully. I didn't feel like I was making headway, but I felt pain. The wind was against them. At about the fourth watch of the night, that is between 3 and 6, it's the darkest moment. In John 6, it says, it was dark. He came to them walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them. When they saw Him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw Him and were terrified. But immediately He spoke to them and said, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. Later die nag was die skuit al ver weg die see in, en hy was alleen op die land. Hy sien toe hoe swaar hulle aan die roei was, want die wind was teen hulle, kort voor dagbreek. Volgende oggend kom Jesus op die see na hulle toe aangeloop. Hy wou hulle verbygaan. That moment of Jesus walking, and it says He meant to pass them by. The way it's stated in the Greek there, and the way what Mark wants to do, he wants to make a correlation between another instance, and some of you have heard of this, is when Moses praying, and he says, Father, or God, show me Your glory. Says Moses said, please show me Your glory. And he said, I will make My goodness pass by or pass before you. It's the same way written. Mark is pointing out. Most scholars are saying, here is something. It's an echo. This is something that you need to note. God wants to say something. He says, I will pass by. All My goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you My name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. And Moses is on the high mountain. He is feeling all holy, committed, intimate. Show me Your glory. The disciples are, where are You, Lord? And they are rowing, and the wind is against them, and everything. This is an unholy moment. This is, I don't know if Peter, the Bible says he sweared when they asked him if he knew Jesus, just before the crucifixion. I don't know if he sweared here, maybe. Speak like a sailor, or what do they say? But I'm guessing this is not moment of show me Your glory, Jesus. Save me, Lord. Where is this Jesus? He just fed the 5,000. Now He left us here alone. He made us get in the boat. And they say He knows everything. Exactly. He knows it all. He meant to pass by them. And oftentimes in our moments of survival, we miss God. Our moments of pain and our moments of anguish and our moments of hopelessness and our moments of we don't understand why, we don't know how, we can miss him. And Jesus is walking. And he's walking in such a way that they need to turn their gaze. They need to look. They need to say, okay, where is he? And he's passing them by because he's walking there because he wants to show them his glory. He wants to have a glorious moment. They all saw him. They were terrified. Ah! Gasper! The ghost! What's happening? They never saw him walk on water in that sense. They saw him sleep in the boat and he's still at the sea, but they never saw him walk on water before. And so it's a new way, and God comes in a way that they did not expect. He meets them in a situation that they did not expect. No theological framework for that one. To them, it's unbiblical. But Jesus comes, and he says these beautiful words, but immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Do you hear some of the songs this morning? I thought, it's beautiful, man. Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. Jesus comes and he declares his name in that sense. It is I. I will show you my glory. I will declare my name. I will cause all my goodness to pass before you. It is I in your storm. It is I in this moment in between going to the other side. Man, and do we have that in our marriages, in our jobs, in our parenthood, in all those things? We have these storms, we have these moments, and Jesus comes into it. Just like he came into the world, into the situation. He does not say, no, don't worry. We can't explain that one, why you're going through it, but let's bless. No, he wants to bless you in that. He wants to come to you in that moment. And he wants you to know him. He wants me to know him, to discover new aspects of him. Like a child finding out who God is. It is I, do not be afraid. It's the all-powerful one. He walks on what we're struggling with, the waters. He declares, take heart, have courage, take strength. It is I. It is I who have just fed the thousands of people from a lunchbox. It is I who made you get into the boat. It is I who sent you out. It is I who wants you to cross to the other side. It is I, forgive my English, who is here now. Am I saying it right? Who am here now? I'm here now. It is I who wants to get in your boat, in your situation. He wants to get in there. In that deadness, in that sense of hopelessness. The Bible says the storm was quieted as he got into the boat. And I love this picture. I don't know, maybe it's not that, but it says, and immediately they were at the other side. And I can just imagine, between 3 and 6, sun rising as they got to the other side. Breaking of a dawn. Breaking of a new moment. There were moments in my sabbatical, we had lovely times. But there were moments that I felt, I don't know if I can come back. Just the emotional stuff that I, kind of spilled over and I was facing. Think, am I cursed? Am I there? What's doubts? Do you wonder, God? Why, what, all of that? Won't let you. He's looking. He sees. Painfully making headway. He sees you trying. He sees. He comes in. He says, take heart. It is I. Take heart. It is I. He declares his name. Come, let's close our eyes. Jesus' purpose is to get you to the other side, man. He's not going to leave you. He's going to get you to the other side. But he's got a moment for you and me right now to see him, to not be scared of him, to not be terrified of what he does. And he wants you to hear, "It is I, take heart." And God wants to, what issue is he speaking now? Might be a number of things. Might be one thing. And what is he speaking now? He wants you to hear, "It is I." No person can give you enough consolation and hope in your heart to have you come through this. Only the God, only the Word of God. The God of hope. The God of hope. And so, Lord, as each one sits here, I pray that they would hear louder than my voice is speaking now. Let them hear it in their heart. Let them hear it by revelation so that they cannot deny, just like I could not deny your word, your name. That you just declaring your name is enough. The Lord, I am. I am what you need me to be. I am what you need me to be to get you to the other side. Not about comfort, but about his kingdom. I want to highlight one part or two parts. And it is that the disciples had to be in the boat for them to experience this miracle. Have you gotten in the boat? Are you in the boat, so to speak? Are you in Jesus' will? Are you in his life? Are you born again? And I do want to ask if there's anybody like that, that you are not born again. You're not convinced you're in the boat this morning. You might have seen a number of disciples, number of Jesus followers, friends. They got in the boat and they're off. And you feel left behind. You were hesitant. I'd love to pray with you. Is there anybody like that this morning? You just need to be prayed for. You need to get in the boat again. Anybody like that? You can just lift your hand and I can pray with you. You want to get in the boat? Now, if you have a storm and you need to hear its eye, do you lift your hands? I just want to pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Come, let's all stand for a moment and Anas, could you maybe sing that song, that last song that we sang? And you guys were patient. I realize we went over time a bit. But we do want to have a moment. And if you just put up your hand right now, and maybe you were afraid to put up your hand for getting in the boat, I want to just invite you to the front. A number of us are going to stand here in the front, and we want to pray with you. I needed people to pray for me. Few people knew about our situation and knew about more about my heart, what my heart was going through. The situation blows over. But the impact it has on your heart, that's the issue. Is it drawing you closer to God or is it drawing you away from God? And if you are going through things that you feel your heart is going further away from God, I'd like to pray with you. Not as somebody that's holy. I like to pray with you that as that guy who flipped and broke that moment that Jack knocked me on the lip. That cherry on the cake. It was nogal a Roy Jack as well. I want to come alongside you. Not there on the mountain, show me your glory, we're so holy. No, in the storm. Lord, we want to see your glory. We want to see your glory. And if you are all right to come and pray with some friends, come, let's pray with them and stand around our brothers and sisters. And we trust God to make each one, to take us to the other side. individually and together as a church, individually and together as a whole family. Lord, take us to the other side. It is you. We acknowledge this morning, Lord, it is you, the author and finisher of our faith, captain of our salvation. You started, Lord. You will end it. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Lord, would you come to each one here now in this storm, Lord, and speak. In this storm, Lord, speak to hearts. Bless them, Lord. In the boat. Lord, their boats are rocking. Let's go to the other side, Lord. We want to say, let's go to the other side, Lord. Help us, Lord. Jesus.